joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. No, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. No, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Oh, this joy I have. Oh, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. No, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
Joy.
world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Oh, this joy I have,
the world didn't give it to me.
Yes, this joy I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Serve the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he thrill you with his blessings every day? Oh, doesn't he watch right over you? Doesn't he love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the
Brother Sister Pryor had to take Brother Jaron to Oklahoma City for his Germany trip, so that's where they're at tonight. And then the Golden family, I don't know where they're at. They normally are here, but maybe they'll contact us in a little while. Anyway, Brother Sister Goodson here with us tonight. Aren't we glad for that? Praise God. We appreciate you being here. Goodson, Sister Goodson. Of course, this is not strange to them, but anyway, we're sure glad they're here. And by the way, I lost my little chain tie keeper like this morning somewhere. I don't know if anybody finds it. Everybody look on the floor when you walk around. If you find one, well, I lost one. All right. Anyway, it's good to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's good to live for Him. And I appreciated the Lord the way He came in this morning and touched us in such a good way. And just wasn't any room for preaching or teaching, but we need those kind of services. Breaks up fallow ground. Every one of us need that. We need that brokenness. The Lord said, I am nigh to him that is of a broken and contrite spirit. And it's a humbling thing for God, his presence, to stand before his presence and for him to touch you. Talking about that this morning in Bible study, that you can't even come to God without Him first coming to you. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except my Father draws him. You have to get in a place where God can draw you, where God can touch you, your life. And aren't you glad tonight that God some way was able to touch your life? And he saw a way to woo you back towards Him. And of course, when that touch, that quickening, I've said at times that when the Spirit of God touches someone, we're His creatures just by nature. We're creatures. We're part of God's creation. We may, before we come to know Him, we may be fallen. We may be beast-like, as the preacher said in Ecclesiastes. But when the Spirit of the Creator touches you, there's something in your soul, something in your spirit that can't help but respond or feel that. And you know that there's something to it. There's something that triggers in your very being. And to have Him, the God of creation, to individually give a personal visitation to one of us. My Lord, how blessed can we be to be touched of God, to have Him touch us with a touch for the purpose of wooing us or drawing us to His reconciliation from this fallen condition of man back to God's original purpose. And He'd ultimately have a family, a people that would respond to those touches, those visitations. That's why we need that so bad, is when the Spirit of God comes in, and we all know that it's not every service that God just comes in and touches us in a special way. But He's the one that chooses the timing. You know, God knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. He knows when He can touch you that it will accomplish something. At least it's got the possibilities of accomplishing. Sometimes I know the Lord, because God won't make you do anything. He won't force Himself on you in any way. But, or I probably ought to qualify that, He will force Himself on you at times. But He won't go over the line of that. In other words, I think once you're God's child, He's got a right. Just like your daddy's got a right to correct you. Your dad's got a right to deal with you and maybe deal with you in ways that you don't really want Him to deal with you. But when it comes right down to it, God won't force you to serve Him. That's what I'm trying to say. But He loves us with a love that's really incomprehensible to us. We were talking about that this morning in Bible study, that talking about the restoration of the church and charity. The question was on charity. What's the difference in charity and love? Well, there's not any difference if you're talking about agape love. The love of God is charity, and we're trying to get to a place and growth and development in God that we can have God's love in our heart. We can have the same love He has. I don't have any doubt that anybody in here has reached that place yet. But I know if you've been serving Him, you felt it. You felt His love for you. And we carried it so far that, you know, that it goes beyond filial love or brotherly love. That's something you've got to grow to a place of brotherly love, but then you've got to grow beyond that. Add to brotherly love charity. You finally got to get beyond just loving your brother. You know, as you would love, you'd have him love you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's brotherly love. But God's love, it'll die for an enemy. It'll die for a loss, someone that's lost. It'll put on the very purpose of God. And we're not going to get that until we have a restored church. It's going to take a restored church to put us back in a place where God can bring that about in our growth stages or our development, this process of salvation. It's a process. Salvation's a process. You don't get it all the first time you kneel at the altar. It's a It's a working process. God, we are His workmanship, and He's working something in us. That's why the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If it's all fixed up when you knelt at the altar, you wouldn't have to work it out. But do you have to? It's something you have to work out with fear and trembling. We ought to all fear we'll miss it. Fear that we won't accomplish, or God won't accomplish everything He wants to accomplish in us. I think our biggest job is to learn how to yield to it and learn how to be diligent in, you know, responding to His touches. It's easy to, you know, to be slothful or slumber, but our life has to become a sacrifice. And that's not something you can do just willingly. You've got to get God's help. God will help you. He'll help you. He'll help you be willing to live a sanctified life, a holy life, a life that's set apart for His purpose. He will give you the ingredients. He'll give you the quickening of the Holy Ghost. He'll help you like He helped His own Son. If you get in the place where His Son got, and it takes God for us to get there, but Jesus came that we might have that. And He wants us. I think God would like to send some angels to talk to us. I think God would like to bolster out of heaven and talk to every one of us. We'd get in a place where he would want us to know, I'm the one that's designed this pathway for you. And I'm with you. And I'll carry you all the way. I'll help you. Just do your part. And that brazen altar is a place where, I said this morning, your life becomes a sacrifice. There's not one thing, this don't sound good, but I know it's the truth. There's not one thing good in any one of us that makes us worthy of salvation. We're not worthy. we were sold down the river. We was born unworthy. Man's but just a few days and full of trouble. Not worthy of God's grace, but He, because of His love, that's why I'm here today. I appreciated that song Brother Griner sang this morning. Let's don't lose that. Let's milk that for a while. And that blessed us. That tied right in with Sister Pryor's song, and you could feel God touching that, touching us in that. So let's hold on to that for a while. And but we're there's not anything that we can brag about that made us worthy. But it was God's love, that agape love, that fatherly love, that He loved us with. For God so loved the world, my Lord, His love, He died. Jesus died while we were yet in our sins. It's hard to find somebody that died for you because they loved you, you know, because they cared enough about you. They'd, you know, I think most, today's Father's Day, and I think most fathers, you have to be a father to understand this, but almost any father would step in front of a bullet for their child. They'd without hesitation, they'd do anything to protect their children, and even their wife. Most men that have a love for their family wouldn't even hesitate in a moment of danger to give their life, step in danger's way to protect their own, their family, their children. You got to be a father to understand that. I don't know if every father, You know, I mean, I'm sure that there's men in this world that don't have those feelings. They're, you know, the world, sin, and corruption has calloused and affected men's hearts. But good men, godly men, I know, have those feelings. And I know I'm a father, and I've had that. You know, I've been in that place where I knew what I'd do. There was no hesitation what I'd do if it came between me and my son. And that, you know, and I know that's not uncommon. I'm not, you know, that's not something special with me. That's just fathers. But I don't know how quick I'd jump in front of a bullet for somebody else's son. I don't know how quick I'd be to take for somebody that I didn't even know. But Jesus, God brought something in his heart to cause him to be willing to die for those that were yet in sin, his enemies, those that rejected him. He prayed a prayer. He meant it too. God forgive him. He even said, you know, you can speak against me and you can get forgiven for it. You can talk against me all you want to. You can run me down. You can not understand who I am. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, he was just saying, if you reject God's dealing with you, you can not understand me. You can get forgiveness for that. You can not know who I am. But if the bottom line is, if you reject the Spirit of God dealing with you and manifesting in that world, God manifested himself completely and fully. Not everybody could see who Jesus was, but before the day of Pentecost, AD 70 was over, there was no denying God's move and his manifestation to that world. And if you rejected that, there was no hope for you, not in this life or the world to come. Wasn't any way you could get forgiveness for that. We haven't seen that kind of move of God yet in the end of this world, but it's coming. It's coming. A full manifestation of God in a restored church is coming to this world. And he's asking. He's extending opportunity and invitation and touches of the Holy Ghost and divine unction, quickening of the Holy Ghost to those that he's calling right now. My God, I feel that. I feel we're a special people, not because of who we are. You're not any better than any other person in this world. And I just told you, you know, I mean, we're not worthy. There's not one thing that makes us worthy. But here's the thing. Just like in the end of that early church, in the end of that world, God reached out. Jesus said one day, he said, I'm going to build a church. My God, I'm going to build a church. It's going to be full of true worshipers that'll worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. He knew he was sent to do that. He knew God gave him the quickening to do that. And there was people that God reached out to who were there and they were available. God just reached out and began to touch them. Here's the way John said it. It'll come in the end of this world same way it did in that world. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. That it's here. He's going to make it available. And if you'll just respond to him. Oh God, I don't want to count myself to have this, you know, this totally accomplished. I don't want to, you know, the Jews made that mistake. They said, we have to ourselves, our father Abraham. And they felt comfortable in that. I don't want to feel comfortable. I don't think any of us ought to get comfortable for where we are. I think we ought to be saying, oh God, every time you quicken me, every time you touch me, let me respond. God, help me to respond to you. Keep drawing me. Keep wooing me. Keep let me feel those touches. And help me to respond. Help me to yield. Help me to give me the ability, to have the diligence to move when you move on me. Yes. And I said, when we come in this, we're our life, it's, you know, when you come through the gate of the temple, there's a brazen altar there, and God asks you to give your sacrifice. Just say, I will, Lord, I'll obey you. I'll dedicate myself to you. I'll yield my life over to you. I'll let you be my all. I'll let you direct and guide my footsteps. How does the scripture say that? The steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. Will you let God order your steps? Sometimes it's not so pleasant because he puts you on that altar. Your life's a sacrifice, and he's going to burn everything there is in you out of you. And that just so happens to be everything. There ain't one good thing he's going to save in you. There ain't one thing. But what he's going to do, he's going to transform something and give you something. He's going to put something in you that he can save and transform and change. And that's the picture. I used that this morning, that they take those coals off the altar and carry them into the holy place and lay them up on the altar of incense. You know, when God gets through with us, how was he said in the 61st Psalm, let me read that right quick, and then I'll get down from here. I'm sorry, Isaiah 61. I don't know why I said Psalms. Jesus, you know, when he was in the temple, you read it in the 4th chapter of Luke, I believe, when he asked him to hand him the scroll of Isaiah, and he read this scriptural setting. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I guess you'd have to have been meek to got it. It's not weak, but meek. Not, you know what meekness is? It's not resisting. It's not to resist. So you would have had to have been in a place you wouldn't have resisted what Jesus was doing, what he was saying. Preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. All this fits me pretty good. I was broken. When I came to God, I needed help. I was a brokenhearted person. And I was a captive. I was a prisoner to sin. I was also a prisoner to some religious ideology. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. There's both of those captives. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Notice that in the end of that world, God, he proclaimed two things. The acceptable year of the Lord. Now there's a time that you can get in this place with God of reconciliation unto eternal life, or everlasting life. And also the day of vengeance, it's called. If you don't respond to it, then it's vengeance. God will get vengeance. He finally will bring judgment. But he won't do that until he's measured out all grace, until Hercules measured out the whole manifestation, the whole balance, to comfort all that mourn and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what we were saying here. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The garment of praise. God let you trade it in on for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, not that you might be glorified, but that he might be glorified. And so he's going to give you oil, our beauty for ashes. That's what I was telling you. When you come in this temple of God, you get on God's altar, you're going to be ashes. He's going to burn the flesh out of you. But God will take that sacrifice. And when God moves you through the process, his process of salvation, if you'll stay with him, you'll wind up in a holy place, up on the altar of incense. Your life will bring forth the incense, the special mixture that God will finally accept, that it'll cause him to open up the temple of eternal life, the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. We're in something, saints. There's something God's working in our lives and touching us far. So don't count it light that you feel God's Spirit anytime he touches you. Every time he touches you, holler, whoo, glory. Move, do something. Say, oh, I know that's my Savior. That's my Creator. And I try to tell him once in a while, God, let me get your purpose in this. Don't let me just keep getting your touch and don't get any purpose out of it. When I first started serving God and getting touches in the Holy Ghost, I just thought I was getting blessed. That's how I looked at it. Later somebody told me, said, you ought to ask God what that's all for. You ought to say, God, what do you want me to do with this? What are you trying to say to me? You know, reveal something to me. Give me something. It's a good time to talk to God when he's touching you. And it's also a good time to listen. Don't just tell him all the time what you want him to do for you, but once in a while say, God, what are you wanting in my life? Speak to me, Lord. Oh, God. Help me to yield myself to you greater. Help me to get in a place. God wants you to grow to a place where you become more like Jesus. You can discern even what men are thinking. And you know the mind of God. You know, that's what he told his disciples. He said, look, don't give any thought for what you're going to say when they come against you. He said, for that, in that hour, your mouth will be filled. I'll give you what to say. Oh, hallelujah. You can get a place of God where he's right on the tip of your tongue. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll help you. You'll know that you're being led by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't want to say much here tonight, but I just wanted to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep serving him. Keep this goal. Keep the prize of the high calling before your eyes. Don't take your eyes off of it. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back. Keep looking forward. Keep striving. Keep asking him, God, keep me in the race. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. It's just good to be here tonight. Let's just open up and let him bless us.
I really needed that. Boy, I tell you what. I mean, I've had one of the roughest weeks, but I'm not complaining. It's like it was rough, but God was with me all the time. I mean, he helped me. He gave me a peace. And I know everybody was praying, so I felt it. So I really appreciate it. I just want to also extend my thanks to the church for the meal. It was wonderful, and everybody, you know, really enjoyed it. And then some of my aunts, they said that they enjoyed all your words, Brother Smith, during the funeral. And they were supposed to be here tonight. I don't know what happened, and I guess I'll call them later, but because some of them stayed over. But anyways, I also want to thank, you know, the Brother Fred and Brother Brett to help out with, you know, with the pallbearers and the singing at the gravesite. I mean, I'm just so thankful that it wasn't really planned for a church funeral, but it turned out okay. Because back then, you know, when 4 years ago, when I took my brother to get it pre-rearranged, we thought, okay, we're just... I worked at Forest Hills at Griffin and Leggett. We'll just have a chapel, you know, a small service there, and go across the street. So, and I forgot all about that. That's why we didn't have police escort. But it worked out okay. You know, that was like, what, $600 that we saved anyway. But anyways, and then something else that, you know, wasn't planned, but I feel like everything went fine. And all the people that he worked for were there at the viewing. We had a great turnout there, and a lot of them, you know, come to me and said they couldn't make it to the funeral. They had to work, which I understand. You know, you can't take off just because you want to take off. But anyway, a lot of my family from out of state also tried to get off, couldn't make it. But that's okay, you know, because I might not be able to make it to their funerals. So I'm not holding any grudges against anybody. But I just want to, you know, don't let this day go by without me getting up and show my appreciation to all my family, church family. This is my family, and I don't feel like an orphan. I mean, I have a lot of family out there, but, you know, I feel alone whenever, you know, I'm around them, but I feel more at home when I'm around God's people. I mean, this is my people, and I've been here for a long time, and I intend to stay here till, you know, my God close, 'cause there's a coffin on me, but I'm just so appreciative, and I so much needed that touch today. And I mean, God touched me really good, and I felt it, and my feeler wasn't broken, Brother Smith, because I felt everything. Whoa, man, whew, it was feeling so good. And I thought of Sister Crow, because I remember when I'd sit with her once in a while when I was younger, you know, and she'd give those little hollers, and I thought, ooh, I want to be like her, you know, just to holler, just to holler whenever you feel it. And a lot of times I would feel it, but I wouldn't. Hey, I'm old, so I can do it now. Yeah, they can make fun of me now. I don't care. But anyway, I'm doing it for the Lord. And I love the Lord, and I love all of you.
Those that don't know me, I'm Brother Goodson. Back in 76, this is where I came from, Brother Dixon's out here, and this is where I met my wife, and this is about over 30 years, and then we ventured out in the ministry at different times, and we live over in Benton now, so we've been kind of gleaning the fields, as it were, but there's nothing like a church here that leaves it open for the Lord to have his way, where you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and you can feel the Lord. People come in, and they can feel something here. There's no program, nothing, you know, but you, somewhere down the line, you're on the menu. You're on the program. So the Lord does use us in different ways. I appreciate the warm welcome. You know, we know a lot of folks here, and This is a home church. I feel like this has always been a home church. When I left California, I always wanted to, I told the Lord that I need to get somewhere established, you know, settle down. You know, I was young at that time and needed a home church after I left Brother Dixon's church. They told me, you can, there's other body churches out there that hold to the teachings and so on. And so I had a few tastes of a few of them, and, but I just couldn't feel where the Lord wanted me. So a brother that used to be here a long time ago said, why don't you just come by Little Rock? We was in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, after the campground meeting. He said, on your way through, if you're going back to Texas, just drop in Arkansas. So I just got close to the Arkansas line, and I put out three feasts, a fleece to the Lord. And I just mentioned him, and you know, within a couple of weeks, all three was answered. So this is where I've been ever since. And so we worked and labored here, and many years that helped support the ministry, did all we can to give our support, and we still feel that way. You know how it is when a young man gets at a certain age, or it feels like, you know how it is, he's off and get married, they leave home, you know. So in a spiritual way, that's the way we have felt since 1982. So we had some experiences, and so we went through some bumpy roads, but yet, like Brother Smith said, if there's a love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, then nothing can turn you around, nothing can upset you, nothing in this life. Everybody has flat tires, headaches, or whatever. But the kind of suffering we are talking about is suffering against the nature. And that's what the Bible teaches when you read Romans 6 and 7 and 8. That's what we've been taught. Work on your nature. And we have a ministry that knows how to bring out those things to help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And we don't have any ill feelings here. We never have any bitterness here. We love all of you, and we love all of God's people. We try to go to meetings when we can, but sometimes my job doesn't permit. So, you know, and that's where we have to keep pressing toward the mark, and we like to see people win to the Lord, and if they know the Lord, then all they need is a little more understanding on some things, you know, truths that we have. It's amazing. I had questions when I was growing up. I was in Brother Dawkins' church in Kansas City. I was raised up in a church there. I didn't understand a lot of things as a child growing up, but the Lord began to deal with me at an early age. And then, we, of course, we left after Brother Dawkins had passed away. And that's why we went to Brother Dixon's back in 67. And something about there that drew me. And so when I turned 18, I told my mom, I'm going back to California. So I left Kansas City. Didn't know nobody. Went out there and received the Holy Ghost baptism. And then I started reading my Bible. And every question that I had was all right here. All the years that I've grown up, all my questions I had was right here. Didn't even know it. Right under my nose, you know. And so there's, I had a lot of things, and then the Lord has, he opens your eyes and gives you a vision. You know, without a vision, my people perish. And if you get a vision, then wherever you go, you take the Lord with you. But you have to maintain that vision. You have to keep going over and over until finally, as Brother Smith says, you become an overcomer. You've overcome. And I always heard, what do you have to overcome before you overcome it? We have to have a knowledge and a vision of what to do. And thank the Lord, He's given us a tool, these things to work with. And so the Lord wants us to understand that where we have these things and cherish, these are treasures. These are hidden treasures. And so the Lord wants us to understand that we can't do nothing without Him. We can't do nothing without His people. You know, you can't be out on left field somewhere. You can't be on the right side. But there's a connection. There's a bond between the people of God. There's a silver cord that connects each one of us. And that's the salvation, the redemption that connects us, that holds up the outer court, you know, the pillars there. They had the chapiters on the pillars. And that's to keep the chapiters from, you know, all the heat of the day, whatever, to keep the pillars from splitting. And so Paul said, having the helmet of salvation, he puts that on our heads so we won't split, so we won't, you know, get under the pressure and crack. But praise God, our mind has been salvaged. We had a mind of enmity, and our minds were enmity against God and against His word. And against God's people. Doesn't matter if you're good or rough somebody out there in the world that you just hatred. That's all we all a nature, a person that regardless if we're a good person, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God's will, neither indeed can be. And so when you get the Spirit of God draws you and deals with you, transforms you into the Lord, then, praise God, we begin to put on that helmet of salvation. We praise God and get our connections with the people of God and with the Lord. You know, that takes a lot of doing. It takes a time. Peter says there's something about the end of our salvation. And there is an end of our salvation. And you remember all the journeys that Israel went under from the time they left Egypt. And, you know, every one of them could have made it. But they just rebelled against the word of God and Moses and all. And a lot of them bleached their bones in the wilderness. You know, they could have made it. There's no time now to have ill feelings against one another, against the people of God. It's time to press toward that mark. It's time to, as Jesus said, we press our way. A man finds the kingdom of God. He presses his way into it. And this is the pressing way. We have to go against the grain sometime. We have to sometimes buckle down and, as somebody said, get with it. Or tighten the belt. And it took a lot of times of doing that. But praise God, we press toward that mark because it's the prize of high calling of God. This is the highest calling than being a pope or being the president of any country. This thing, God's people is going to rule the world with the Lord. And He's going to give them a rod of iron that's going to break the nations. This thing, if we can rule over ourselves, not somebody else, but rule over this person here, then praise God, I get to rule and reign with Him. As somebody said, don't worry about the beast out there. Worry about the beast. I got a beast to kill. But yet inside this physical frame of person, there's a life of God and the Holy Spirit that quickens. And Paul said, if you've been raised risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. If we set our affections on things of the earth, then we'll be earthbound. See, that's the old man, the earthbound creature. But a new creature, praise God, is heavenly bound. And all things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. That's one of my favorite scriptures. That I became a new creature, even though I got an old creature here. But I'm battling, I'm fighting the fight of faith. I'm laying hold on eternal life. And that's what it's going to take. So I'm not here to try to compete or... over the years we've been here, we had brethren work together. We worked together good. Brother, we kept the unity. We kept the spirit of unity. And so that's what it's going to take. A people that's willing to put all these earthly affections aside, because it's just the old nature. Praise God, I got a new nature. Let's work on that new nature. Where there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering. Oh, but we don't like the long-suffering. As somebody said, the trouble with patience, we have to wait for it. And we don't like to wait for patience, you know. And so it's the way it is if you're married. You got to be patient with one another, forbearing one another in the love of God. And because she's pressing toward the mark the same as you are. And she goes through things the same as you are. And so keep that love to God. And there's nothing. When there's love, there's nothing that can come between the people of God or a man and wife. When there's a love one to another. And I began to incorporate in my life all these things. And I'm still pressing toward the mark. you know, as I was saying, that all the 40 years in the wilderness, when Israel was, some stayed behind in the wilderness, but God's people, and there's a lot of people say, well, this is 70 palm trees over here, and there's a big lake over here with bushes, And what is that, 70 palm trees and whatever. As soon as they got out of there, they ran into this oasis. And I guess there was some that stayed there. But that wasn't the promised land. The promised land is another three-day journey, I think it was. They could have made it in 3 days. But they did so much, the Lord said, no, you got to go. It's got to be 40 years now. I got to get something. There's something there that I have to get out. You ever felt that? Lord, I'm almost there. But the Lord says, no, there's still some more I got to get out. There's still some more pressing on. And there's still more to kill. And but anyway, when Israel made it, finally when they built the temple, guess what they did? The priests took the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies, and they took the staves, the little staves out of the Ark of the Covenant. They laid it at where the ends of the, it's in First Kings, the ends of the staves were sticking out in the holy place, you know, where they could see, when they come in and did the service of the holy place, they could see the staves, the ends of them sticking out. Now, why didn't they just put them up in a corner somewhere or whatever? But it reminded them that now they got a permanent place, they're in their promised land. And when they go in and do the service, guess what? They see the end of those staves showing their journey's ended. Praise God. They're in the temple of worship. Their long journey, their long suffering, and things that they had to work on, they see those staves and they say, brother, we're at the end of our journey. We got the temple now. Praise God. And you know what? For 40 years, that Solomon's reign, there was, peace. Nations were around him were peace. Isn't that something how the Lord, the true Solomon, when he comes in our life, he gives us peace. There is an end of our journey. There is an end of our salvation. It's how you look at it. It's how we look at things around us. That's going to matter. Brother, I'm, as somebody says, I'm in it for the long haul. Well, it's been a long haul. It's too far, as somebody said, to look back now. It's too far to look back and say, well, this is it. I've come this far, and I think I'm going to quit. No, man. But this, you know, this is the time that you're going to quit. The Lord always comes in and gives you a blessing. Isn't that something? This we're going to give it up. You're down and out. You're discouraged. Just think of it. There's the end of your salvation. Yeah. Don't end it now. Don't end it tonight. Let the Lord go all the way. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will help. You know, the Lord, His Spirit fills all space and is everywhere. And the old saying is God can't go anywhere because He's everywhere. God can't go everywhere because He's can't go anywhere because He's everywhere. Wherever you go in this world, this is God's footstool. Heaven is His throne. You want to know where God dwells at? You want to know where heaven? Heaven is His throne. The whole heaven. But the earth is His footstool. This is His creation. I'm not worried about other things out there and planetary heavens and all that. This right here is enough. If we can dig in there, listen to the ministry, listen to Brother Smith. Brother, there's some things in here that you have to dig for it. There's some things you have to dig. Some things is on the surface, but then the treasures, the gold, the silver is deep. Then if you're really and hungry, He'll feed you with good things. But if you're full, you come to church, I'm full, you know, He'll send you empty away. He'll go home full and probably come back Wednesday night, you're still full. Well, He can't give us nothing because we're full. Just think, He wants somebody that's hungry. If you're hungry for the things of God, He will fill you with good things. He will not turn away the hungry. He will not starve you to death. You feel like we're being starved to death? Every once in a while, somebody will say something that, oh man, that was good. Get some nuggets. But I thank the Lord that there's some people here over the years that's in this church here that's been on fire for the Lord, been staying with it. Thank God. There's going to be a people that God is going to be a tried people. That's why in Revelations 15, they stood on the fire. You remember the Revelations 15? They stood on the fire. They conquered the fiery trials. I'm going through the fire now or whatever. But one of these days, I'm going to be standing on the fire. I'm going to be conquering victory over my trials and tests. It'd be worth it, brother. But how's that scripture Paul said? The things.
Sufferings of this present time.
Yeah, the things of this present time are not worthy to be compared.
The glory that shall be revealed in you.
Yeah, with the eternal weight of glory that shall be revealed in you. This is the eternal weight. This has a weight to it. Did you know that the boards of the tabernacle, they were 10 cubits high? That's just the 10 cubits, but that's about 15 foot, I think it was. But 10 is the number of judgment. Did you know when you come in here, we're wood, as it were, and then we have the ministry. Brother Smith takes the wood and he planes it. The boards have to stand up. Well, they stand up, but they're upside down. Because they got some tannins on the boards that's like hands. That's what tannins are. They're hands. And they fit in the sockets of silver, which weigh, there's two of them for each board. That's a lot of weight. Silver is redemption. So we're turned upside down in this. You know, when you come in here, this is upside down to you. To the ordinary person, they come in the church, they don't understand what's going on. They don't see the program. They don't see the whatever. Until finally, like the rest of us. They get turned upside down in this. And our hands is in the eternal weight of glory, of God's redemption. Yes. Praise God. And we're not touching the earth. See, the scripture says we're not the suffering of this, not that one, but the one I just mentioned a while ago. If you've risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, not things of the earth. See, when you got saved and received the Holy Ghost baptism, you received part of that eternal weight of glory. You've been put in sockets of silver. That has a lot of weight to it. And the boards are stood straight up. So there's a lot of planing to do. This Word of God. The preacher comes along and takes the plane of the Word of God and planes you until finally he gets the knots out. Not this, no, you know, like the law, you know, it says, thou shalt not, you know. That's all you got in your vocabulary when you come in now the world is not, you know, not this, no, it's not that. You know, finally get the plane of the Word of God, get those knots out, and then finally he overlays us with gold. He overlays us with that Holy Ghost, the partakers of his divine nature. And he puts us in sockets of silver where our hands, Paul said, lay hold on eternal life. See, lay hold on it. But we're upside down. You didn't know that you was upside down? Well, I didn't understand it either. I was right side up, but everybody else is upside down. You know the roots is in heaven, isn't it? I think the roots... So this tree that we've been grafted into, the root, the tree is upside down, but it comes down through us from heaven. And so, anyway, you're upside down to this world, so might as well face it. So, it's just something to look at. And then he puts the bars, the five bars around the, and helps us. Frame us together, fitly framed together for the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. And those five bars, I believe there is the five gifted ministry that holds us together, that puts us framed together. And so I think that the Holy Ghost is really important. It's God's active agent to help us, to woo us, to bring us, to be what we should be in the Lord. And that's why we've been working on this since Brother Souders and all the brethren of their day. And now we're in our day. So what are we going to make of it in our day? What are we going to do with all this that's been handed to us on a silver platter? We've been handed this as a silver platter. You know, people come in and they get these things they're just like, we got treasures coming out of our pockets, you know, gold, and we just hand them out. Some goes away and says, they scratch your head. Boy, they heard something different. But they like what they heard. They like what they feel. And they keep coming back. And so that's the way with me. I felt something when I first came to this group of people. And so it's going to take something there that the Lord's working on us when it comes to order, it comes to many things in our life, how to work right with one another, not to be hold malice. Paul said, don't in men be understanding, but in children be, you know, malice there, but that malice don't hold grudging, see. So it doesn't, I'm trying to be a grown person where I have understanding, where I won't have malice or something, all the works of these flesh. Sometimes a work of a flesh may not bother you in some areas, and then in some areas, those things maybe bother me. And then in another area, it doesn't. This other person over here doesn't bother them at all. See, we're all made different. And so whatever the Lord puts on our plate, that's what he wants to work on. And so when the Lord, like Brother Smith, gives us over a period of time the things, That's the, puts different things in all in front of us that we have to work on. If you want to make it, you know, he saved me just in time to make it. He didn't just save me in time to leave me out on a limb or leave me somewhere hanging on a limb, you know. He wants me to do something. And so if you know what to do, then this is the place where you come and hear to find out what to do in the kingdom of God. So I appreciate this church. I appreciate Brother Smith and what he's doing here and how he's helped the church here and strengthened their hands and all. And so we hope that there'll be things that as time goes on, we can work together in a way of, I'm not compromising. I'm not saying anything like a compromising deal or something. There ain't no compromising in this. Because this is the word of God. You know, God says this, then we're going to have to do it. You know what I mean? He says, come, let us reason together. Isn't that what he said? God wants us to reason with him. You know, I mean, the apostles, they reasoned with these Pharisees and Sadducees. They went away reasoning about this. Well, they didn't understand it. But then others that did, it says, oh, man, the resurrection of the Lord or whatever. Man, that was great, see. But some of us, we have to reason. You know how a child, you correct a child when he's young, but when they get a teenager and they get older, now we got to reason. You wouldn't whip an 18-year-old kid, would you? Some probably would. You try, you know. But you sit down and talk to him, reason with him. Okay, now this is, you know. And just heard of recently there's people in Benton that these teenagers, they out having a good time, and last year a girl ended her life just driving over these hills too fast with other kids coming from a prom, I think it was. And you heard that news on the news. Killed herself, and the others were in intensive care for a long time. And I don't know if it might have been another young person that died. You got to sit down. And there's some, if you get a ticket, you go before the judge. The judge is going to talk to you, you know. put some thoughts in you that you're now in the society, you're growing up into an adult, and now you got to, if you're going to drive a car, it's a privilege to have a license, you know. So they'll talk some sense in your head, because you become an example of society. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. You come to the kingdom of God. We come before the word of God. This is the judge. The word of God judges us. We're either in a correction type of judgment, or we can be in a investigative judgment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the investigative judgment is, I'd rather have the corrective. But if I don't take a corrective judgment, you know, the Lord chastens whom he loves, then he's going to get me in a investigative, and that's going to be really bad. But then finally, if I'm totally a rebellious person in the kingdom of God, causing evil, you know what? I get a destructive judgment, and I miss the whole point of going on and pressing to be the bride of Christ. See, and you see what I mean? I'm here to be in the bride. I want to be in the bride. Paul said that. He said, that make your calling and election sure. I want my calling and election. There is an election sure, brother. And that is to obtain for the bride. If I'm called to be in the bride, then all these things that I worked on through the years and went through, and all these things, suffering with God's people, brother, it's worth it all, isn't it, that we all go in together and be in the reign of Christ. Isn't that something? And it won't be very long. There's things in the world shaping up out here. The Europe corn market. They got 26 nations. They got things. They got their own unity flag now. You ever heard of that flag? It's a blue flag with the 12 stars and a design of Mary on it. That's their allegiance to the Catholic Church. And then they're getting the all religions together. There's a religious element that's coming together. Brother, you and I are in the last days of the Gentiles. Just think of, we're on this side of the dark ages. We get to see the climax of this whole thing, brothers and sisters, if we just stay in the ship. And if we go out in the world, it's going to be kind of late getting back in here when everybody in here is in the walk quarry, getting chipped on, getting shaped to be part of that temple. But if we go out in the world, have fun, live it up, for tomorrow you die. That's what Paul, the scripture says. But if I stay in here in the walk quarry, getting chiseled on, I got to put a little thing right here so it'll fit on this stone. Then he chisels this out over here. The Spirit goes over here and chisels this out. And you know what? I don't know if they used water in some of those chiseling stones. They just kind of hit it, you know, made a crack. And that stone cracks all the way down. You know how some of those stones, they can crack a straight line. So if he can stand the crack around here, you know, take that hammer of the Word of God, and Brother Smith go over here and see, I better go back over this way. And then all of a sudden he goes, boop, goes. Boy, that's walking around. Feel like I've been hurt. But no, you haven't been hurt. He's just making you fit. The scripture says, how's that go? He that put his hands to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom. you won't be fit for this. I want to be fit for this. So I'm encouraged because I still see those that's still pressing on. And then I see the ones that Brother Smith, the church down, that they're still pressing on. They still got a vision. And that's what it's going to take, isn't it? So I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the church here. And we haven't forgotten you. We haven't forsaken you. And so we love you all. And Lord bless you.
I've set my heart on the goal and now I'm pressing. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. Oh, to redeem all the time. Keep a prayer on my mind. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'm pressing. I've set my all the time, keep a prayer on my mind. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'm pressing. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. Oh, to redeem all the time, keep a prayer on my mind. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'm pressing. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. To redeem all the time, keep a prayer on my mind. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. I've set my heart on the goal, now I'm pressing. I set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. Oh, to redeem all the time. Keep a prayer on my mind. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'm pressing. I've set my heart on the goal and now I'll strive. Oh, to redeem all the time. Keep a prayer.
Praise the Lord. All right, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. You got your heart set on the gold? Praise God. I appreciated those good words, Brother Goodson. And appreciate having them here. And I meant to mention our other visitor, Sister, I think your name's Brenda. Been here before, isn't that right? Barbara, is that right? All right. Well, it's good to have you. We want to welcome you back, and we want you to keep coming. We're wanting all the strength we can get to lift up His name. Lift up the name of the Lord. Build the kingdom of heaven, and it takes working together. And, you know, this church is it's an old church. It's, you know, it's been here a long time, Brother Tucker. And men even before Brother Tucker came and worked in this area. And there's many brethren that God's had their labors that's been put into operation here, and it's accomplished things for God. And I'll tell you, I'm feeling the need myself. God, I feel like God's, Brother Liniger died in 2002, and he was preaching Jubilee for 2003. And I don't think he even really understood altogether what it was he was looking for. It just God put it in his mind. But we, several of us, began to study after he began to, that was a quickening to this ministry, that there would be a Jubilee. There was one in 53. Brother William Siders prophesied in November of, he died in November of 2002. Brother Liniger died in November of 2002. Brother Siders died in 1952, 50 years, the same month before. Both of them died projecting that God was going to bring something special to the body. And in 53, the new experience came. Brother Liniger was saying there's a Jubilee. He knew it was 50 years since the new experience, and he was prophesying by knowledge, but I feel God put it in his heart to do that. And some of us began to study that, what a Jubilee was. 50-year Jubilee under the law, all debts were forgiven. You know, and, you know, since 2003, God's been healing this body. Different segments of it that couldn't stay together under different pressures and things. Like that song said, I think it's time for us to redeem the time. And it's going to take forgiveness on all of our parts. There's some things that you can't fix the past. You just have to count it a wash and just say, let's start. Let's start out today. Let's just all forgive the past. Some of us, we didn't have nothing to do with it. We didn't have anything to do with the problems of the past. We're not accountable necessarily for it, but it affected us. But for us to go on and accomplish what God wants accomplished, it's going to take not taking up other men's offenses. And not only to forgive all debts, but all slaves were to be freed, all Israelite slaves. If you're in prison, you know, There were people right in this body that were in prison to different things and different situations that I think God released all that. I just feel that today. I can feel that. And then the inheritance was to be restored. If you sold anything, you know, in that 50-year period, you couldn't sell anything that could go beyond the Jubilee. It all came back to you in the Jubilee. And I thank God God's saying that to this body. I want your inheritance restored. I was just sitting back here thinking tonight, I thought, oh God, help us. God, help us with what we need to have unity and peace and to work together and have the right order. And I know, Brother Goodson, we can't compromise the Word of God, but we can compromise with each other. So God, I know God's compromising with me. I'm not where He wants me, but He's accepting me on my level. And I feel like I have to do that. I have to compromise like God. I have to compromise with God's people, God's ministry. We don't all see everything eye to eye, but we are to stay together. We're to work together. We're to work in the order of God and bear with one another and love one another, even when we don't agree. And so I'm thankful for what God's doing. He's got to heal this body if we're going to accomplish what our vision is. And I think that's necessary for assemblies and for this church. This church has been through a lot. And, if you've been shot at quite a few times, well, you'll get to where you hear a gun go off, you'll jump. You'll duck. You know, may not be anybody shooting at you, but you still are fearful of getting hit. I just want you to know I'm not shooting at anybody. I'm laying down my guns. I'm trying to find the love of God and the peace of God. I want to be a peacemaker. And I want to love all of God's people. So anyway, this has been good here tonight. What a good day. Pray for the trip to the Dominican Republic this week. Thursday, several of us, or a few of us anyway, are going over. My wife and I are leaving, and Nathan on Wednesday, but then everybody else is leaving on Thursday. And then we'll be back the following Tuesday. Brother, I got Brother Tally an extra day. He told me today, he said, we're coming back Monday. I said, no, you're coming back Tuesday. He said, oh, no, I think we're coming back on Monday. I said, no. I said, you look at your ticket. You're coming back on Tuesday with the rest of them. You're making the whole trip. He said, hallelujah, I got an extra day out of this deal. Anyway, pray for the trip. And then pray for Sister Ann, that who knows, maybe on her 75th anniversary, she'll let Brother Wayne go. But he ain't going on this trip. I can tell you right now, he ain't going. See, I'm telling you, pray for Sister Ann. Anyway, I'm just making fun here. But anyway, God love your hearts. I appreciate every one of you. Thank you for the good offering. I did want to mention, Brother, I didn't mention this morning, Brothers Jerry York and Brother Scott worked the parking lot for the funeral. There are several here that worked. I may not have mentioned your name. If I didn't, forgive me. But I want you to know you're appreciated. And all right. But, Brother, I appreciate Brother Scotty York. He just come in here and just fit right in he's the kind of guy that's quiet, you don't even hardly notice him but he's a worker. He's always in the background doing something, helping people. So I'm glad he was just a baby when he come in under my ministry. And he's a grown, here he is a grown man, and I'm glad he's back under my ministry here in Little Rock. He was up in Missouri, and I never did dream. Did you know, Brother Scott, I'll tell you something you may not know, but there was a man in Missouri that was praying whether or not God wanted him to move to Little Rock. You know what his fleece was? He said, I'm putting out a fleece. This was back several years ago. He said, if God moves Scotty York to Little Rock, I'll know God wants me to move there. I don't know what he thinks today. Of course, that's he thought that would be the last guy God would ever move to Little Rock, Arkansas. And here he is trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Here, Brother Scott York's down there in Little Rock, Arkansas. Well, I'm not going to hold him to it, you know. God may, he may have just put that out. But sometimes God may not want you to do what you're asking him to do, but he may just let you know that you ain't big enough to tell me I can't do something. Praise God. You feel like you've been to church today? Oh, God, I feel... I'm full, Brother Goodson. I'm going to have to go home and empty out so I can get hungry enough to want to fill up again, because this has been a precious day. This morning, oh, I sat down in the Bible study. I said, we need more of those deep moves of God. And boy, when it moved in here today, I thought, oh, God, I need this. We need this. Hallelujah. And we double dipped into it. We got a double dip. Brother Gerner got on the piano, and here it came again. And I want you young people to know how much I appreciated you responding to God, God touching your lives. That blessed me. I can't tell you how much that blessed me, because we know this is going to be handed over to you. You got to get this, because, isn't that right, Sister Crow? I gotta get this. We've got to have some assurance that y'all are getting this. Because when we pass off the scene, we've got a hope for a resurrection. We want to come up and see a church. Hallelujah. Operating, moving forward, accomplishing the things of God. If I pass off the scene, I need you. I need you not to fail God for this vision to go on. Well, I know it's gonna go on, but I need people like you to. I need to rise up and say, there Sister Alex is, Sister Rachel, and, you know, all these young people in here. I'm just mentioning them because they got up here first, you know, and God began to touch them. It blessed me so much I about got down on the floor over it. And not that they don't never get blessed, but it just blessed me to see them. It was about time, though. But anyhow, but I need, when I wake up, I want to, you know, if I leave off here before y'all keep looking for me. I plan on being back. Yeah, and I want to see some of you. Say hallelujah. They got it, and they kept it alive. Hallelujah. Let's stand and give him a praise before we go home. Let you go home a little early on Father's Day. Take your daddy out to Shakey's or somewhere and get him a concrete. That's ice cream, by the way. I'm not talking about real concrete. I'm talking about ice cream, you know, a shake or a banana split or something like that. Anyway, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy to us. Oh God, your precious touch on our lives. We give you praise tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.